Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Another episode of the Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we are going to be breaking down the action-packed finale of the Traitors Season 3, along with our thoughts about the reunion. It was quite an interesting episode, to say the least, with some sparks, light sparks in the reunion as well. We're going to break down both of these things right now for you guys, including who did Brittany eliminate from the show? But before we dive into any of that craziness, I am joined by my podcast partner here, Mr. Matthew Fox. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was up in Seattle a little bit this week. You know, that was kind of fun. I had to tackle my fear of going up to the Space Needle where there was a glass floor. I'm not big on heights, so that was kind of exciting. Spent $18 on this game that I just shared with you. You know, movie plots explained poorly. I can't see how that'll go wrong. And then I, you know, was geared up for our Traitors finale. Got so excited that I tripped in my driveway and skinned my legs up on my way in. So I pretty much just had to lay there and endure the episode, and falling on the driveway might have been the highlight of the night.
It might have been, but I will say this: to kick off the episode, I was elated to find out that Brittany voted for Danielle. Now let me explain something too. I understood, and she stood on business in the I'm not 100% sure I believe Brittany, but I also kind of believe Brittany. I'm confused because part of me, you do see, and they replayed in the reunion to verify this. Dolores does make an eye contact with Danielle. And I felt I could understand in that moment where it's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm going to vote for you in eye contact round. Now, also, if you watched Dolores throughout the entire season, you knew she wasn't thinking that far ahead. Us as a viewer, you knew she wasn't voting right, which hilariously is pointed out at the reunion as well. But we'll talk about that when we talk about the reunion, though.
Yeah, you know, if there was one consistent theme in season three, I think it's the brutal deciding vote cast by somebody you were close to. I mean, that was, we got
and
that.
And it's not the first time she did it.
Early on. Well, Danielle had done it to a couple of people.
Yeah, I'm talking about Brittany had done it to Danielle on a different show. And that's why she said, you know, hey, you know, you did it to me again. Obviously, I can't believe it. You know,
and I don't, I guess I understand Brittany saying, you know, I didn't think my vote would save you, but it would have ended up tied again and cast them into, wasn't it like some kind of random game of chance?
Exactly.
I don't know.
So exactly. There was part of me that almost wanted to see what the random game of chance would have been. I don't know. Maybe they play paper, rock, scissors or a game of chess or, you know what I mean? I don't know. You know, pick a number 1 through 10, whoever's closest, you know, gets eliminated. But, you know, Alan said, did you catch them all? Obviously, then she thanks everyone, but says to Brittany, all she says to Brittany was, wow. Which, of course, was also pretty, you know, pretty funny, you know what I mean? But Danielle thought obviously she thought Dolores was going to vote for her. She thanks everyone, and then of course she reveals that she isn't traitor. Gabby comforts Brittany in this moment. Danielle says she couldn't believe she put faith in Brittany again. She should have killed her instead. Look, we said that on the podcast. You didn't need anybody else, but at the same time, I don't think Danielle was going to make it very far anyway. Danielle was gone one way or another.
I argued that when she had the chance to turn somebody, she should have tried Dylan.
She really should have, because I mean, that was, and looking at what they were doing, that was the play. You know what I mean? Like, that was the play, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, to me, is 100% the play. And I would have done that. You know what I mean? You have to do something like that along those lines. But moving right along, let's see here. We are down. Obviously, we're down to Brittany, Dylan, Ivar, Dolores, and Gabby. Dylan says if Brittany's a traitor, that whoever she meets, she will more than likely try to say that they're a traitor. He said Danielle had something nice to say about everyone but Brittany. This is one thing. Can I say this? I want this to be on record for season 4 of The Traitors. I think you should get up there and say, I'm a traitor or I'm not a traitor, and that's it. I don't feel like you should be able to give any speeches, because if you actually listen to almost, like, not maybe not Caroline, but if you listen to Bob the Drag Queen's speech or whatever, you know what I mean? He kind of was like, you know, pushed it back onto Boston Rob, right? You know what I mean? I feel like he did there. And then now Danielle almost kind of pushed it back on Brittany as well. I feel like you should just stand up there, shut up, and say, I'm a traitor, I'm not a traitor, period.
I also, you know, in the way the show's cut, they never brought this up, but I thought that was a flimsy reason to accuse her anyway, because it was clear during the vote that she was mad that Brittany did it to her again, because everybody knew from the very beginning, like the pilot episode. I never watched Big Brother, but I knew there was some past history with them because they referenced it several times. So why would it have been shocking that she was hurt that that was the person she got, right, you know, gave another chance to and knocked her out again? Why would you have not expected her to say anything nice? I thought that, you know, of all of his evidence or whatever, you know what? If I get murdered, don't let Dylan be my detective, because I guess, yeah, don't let Dolores either. I can't believe she was actually a cop. They said that at the end. I almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I do love the bromance of More Than Anybody in the World. I love when Dylan said, when I learned from my big brother talking about Boston Rob, Dylan's plan is to banish Brittany. And then of course Brittany ended up being the seer, which of course, you know, she does, you know, she invited Gabby. Obviously Gabby revealed that she's a faithful. This is one thing I saw, somebody post in their timeline. One of the ways to fix some of the aspects of the traitors. And there's a few of them that he had. I like the good ideas. Hang on one second here. It was the seer revamped. Obviously, we saw it replayed here. I think the seer would be a role that is selected by the host on day one, and they can use that power
once
their power show, whenever they want the face-to-face meeting for the fire pit to reveal their role. Their power expire the night before the final roundtable. I think that would be pretty cool, and just hold on to it throughout the entire season.
Or it'd be more interesting to say you can use your power once throughout the season. Maybe, you know, you'd be in it becomes a piece, exactly, of strategy.
Yeah, that's what, like, that's it's a piece of thing that you can leverage at some point in time where you think, all right, I think Matt's the traitor. This is like episode 5, I'm still in the game. I think Matt's a traitor and we need to banish the traitor. I think I need to use my seer right now.
Yeah.
And then you reveal and say, Matt, yeah, hey, he is a traitor, or hey, he's not a traitor. And then you know, it's kind of almost feels like a waste there. But I think if you feel like somebody full force a traitor, but I definitely think it would be fun. I didn't really care for the game. I don't really care for the games. I think there needs to be something added to these. I think if you get immunity or if you win something in this, you should be safe at the round table as well. We talked about that in previous podcasts. I feel like there's some sort of safety should be presented at the round table. You should be safe from banishment, or there should be different immunities, right? One is you safe from the round table. One's you're safe from murder. You know, you're safe from banishment, or you're safe from murder. Maybe there's one and one, but I think I think it's stupid to like go out here and win immunity from being murdered, but you get eliminated from being, you get banished. You know what I mean? Needs to be some sort of something there that I would change the rules. Matt, we're going to turn you upside down and throw the things in the right area. Are you good or no? Is that not for you either?
Oh, the putting the fire in there.
Hanging from the helicopter. You know,
they weren't,
I mean,
upside down though. They were hanging from the, well, but no, that's the, that's my idea. That's my idea, Bell.
We had clowns and we had heights. I mean, Matthew Fox should be on season four of The Traitors. Baby. Let's go.
They had snakes.
And snakes. Yeah.
To survive Alan Cumming's outfits a few of those days, which were crimes against fashion. Some of the challenges, I do generally agree with you. Some of that ended up being fun. Like in the reunion show, one of the best moments is when we're recalling Tom trying to sing those things from the creepy dolls. Some of them just felt like they went on a little bit too long or.
Yeah. Yeah. There was several that kind of went on too long. All right, moving right along to the round table. This came no surprise to me. Brittany was the odd person out. I feel like
I was mildly surprised the girls went against her. I thought she made a good argument in their round table discussion.
I think she made a good argument. I just felt like there was too much. It's one of those, I've got to see, you know what I mean? And obviously you don't know at the end of this because they don't know if whoever they eliminated was a traitor or not. And then, of course, the final scene is so fucking dramatic for no reason at all. And it's dragged on for like
20 minutes. Did you think there was any chance one of them was going to vote for another banishment?
I thought there was zero chance. But what you have to do is if you watch the season two finale, there is a moment where this happens where they got rid of all the traitors and there was three of them and they actually voted that there was no reason other than selfishness that somebody threw a red one and they eliminated somebody from the show. Like there was literally no reason for it. But yeah, so, I mean, it didn't surprise me here. These four, no, there was no way in hell. I was shocked that these guys were walking away. And then of course, everybody finds out everybody's a faithful yippee-ki-yay. They won like $51,000 a piece, about 25K after taxes and a fun little trip to the castle and maybe some, you know,
do you think they get paid for appearing too? Because I'm pretty positive they did. Like a big enough,
The pot's only like 250,000 up to 250, I think.
Yeah. Which doesn't really feel like that incredible of a,
I'm searching right now. Do they get paid in traders? Let's see. Traders US. I need to put Traders US because US is different. Some of them do. I don't care about how much. I don't know. It doesn't really say. I do think that some of them get appearance fees on the US version just because they're already established names. But I do know, like on the regular reality shows, they don't get paid anything really. You know what I mean? Let's see. And then, of course, Alan announces that they banished Brittany and she was revealed to be, in fact, a traitor. And then we transition to the reunion. Before we go there, happy, sad, okay, thumbs in the middle about who won.
Ambivalent, I guess. I really grew to intensely dislike Dylan over the last few episodes. Dolores was fine. I didn't have a lot of personality there. I was kind of happy for Gabby.
Yep.
Ivar was tough throughout. We seem to kind of gloss over everybody hated him at the beginning.
Yeah,
100%. Because he seemed incredibly misogynistic.
Yeah.
And some of those things came up even, I think it was last week, I was making a joke when he said, "That's the game, sweetheart," to one of the girls. It's probably a little bit to do with age and background, you know, having come from the royal family, and he was probably one of the older ones. I think he's in his 60s, is what I saw. I was kind of ambivalent about it at the end. The four that made it through, none of them had, I mean, Gabby probably had the closest to having like a fun personality and character presence.
And I think that she played a very good game too. She did earmark a couple of the traitors. And I give Dylan credit for Bob, but that's about all I give all I give him credit for. He gets a lot more credit towards the end than he deserves, because I think a lot of those things, and you see even in the clips of when we watch it in the reunion, the traitors screwed the traitors. Like,
yeah,
I truly believe that. I think if Bob Dragon, I think Bob Dragon could have won this game pretty easily if he would have been a traitor with anybody else, because his personality was just too big to kind of, I mean, Boston Rob really screwed all that up, because Boston Rob was, he wanted to control the game. Bob the Dragon wanted to control the game. To me, Dolores is fine, but she was a terrible faithful. She sucked at this game. I don't think she deserved a single dollar.
Well, and that's, she and Ivar were probably kind of milquetoast in the background.
Yeah.
And that's basically what helped carry them through.
Yeah.
Gabby was just fun, and she had like the most fun story, I guess, you know, of why she was excited to win. I liked Dylan at the beginning, just the last few episodes. I thought he was really petulant in the finals. I was like rooting for him to just get eliminated.
There was part of me that wished he would have been eliminated instead of Brittany. And I agree with you. Like, I really liked him. Like, when we were talking at the early stage of the season, we both touted this guy. We're like, yeah, this guy's awesome. Like, he's figuring things out.
Yeah.
But once he locked in on Bob the Drag Queen, from there, his entire gameplay, outside of just who he is as a person, whatever, his entire gameplay sucked. He didn't pin Boston Rob. He wasn't, his hand was forced to go to Boston Rob. His hand was literally forced. Danielle, I mean, if you watch, especially if you watch the reunion as well, like, his nose was like, he didn't believe Caroline was a traitor. He thought Gabby was a traitor the entire show. Honestly, when I look back now, I kind of wish Gabby was a traitor. I think she would have been a fun traitor.
Yeah.
She'd have just been up like, I don't care, guys. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. You know what I mean? I really feel like she would have been a fun traitor. Andy Cohen, I don't really know a lot about Andy Cohen. We're getting used to him now because I've watched the two seasons of The Traitors with him as the host. And then I recently watched the Vanderpump Rules season one.
I think he does like all the reunions. So, you know, yeah, NBC owns Bravo.
So he does all the I really liked what he did. I really liked him here. I really enjoyed him here. I think I enjoy him in this role, I guess you could say, because to me, he's not afraid. I think there's the difference between him and somebody else. He's not afraid to call people out. And he's not shy about it. And I think, to me, that's the only, there's only, I don't think you can have Alan Cummings or a random host say some of the things that he does. I mean, because I just love the fact that he called out, you know, Dolores voted 8 out of 10 times wrong. And I think the last time she voted with Brittany was like one of the first time, like the second time in the entire show, she voted 10 times and only 8, and 2 of those 10 times she voted for the person that ended up, you know, a traitor or whatever. You know what I mean? But she said Tom pissed her off every time. That's why she voted for him, which is hilarious.
And then he sat with her at the reunion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that the seating chart is based on how they make the seating chart. But everyone says they're shocked that Ivar sitting there. I mean, you know, hello. Let's see here. Dylan, Bob, and Rob. The boring, you cannot get any less personality between Dolores, Ivar, and Dylan. So it was like not shocking that they brought the faces of the show to the forefront of the table very fast. You know what I mean? We had Danielle, Bob, Rob, and Caroline come out. I love Andy calling him out for killing all the housewives. I don't need the flashbacks. There's the funny flashbacks of the sequences, but I don't need to see what happened. We watched the show, guys.
And not that long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so it's interesting because, you know, we'll talk about the Vanderpump finale and reunion. I thought they were more tactful, at least in that one, with the clips they chose to, you know, really highlight and drive some things home. I think we talked about there just wasn't enough big moments or drama probably throughout Traitors. And like you said, it was mostly the Traitors' self-inflicted wounds, not being able to get on the same page. And that really, other than you had some odd, I can't even remember who was the first lady that got voted out, and her and Bob the Drag Queen kind of
going at
arguing
it,
back and forth. No, not Ion. It was the other.
Oh, Dorinda.
Dorinda. There you go.
She wanted her. Then, I'll tell you what. She criticized Bob for trying to say he wanted his five. She wanted her 5 minutes of fame during this reunion. Yeah.
But I thought the reunion episode was really. I kept checking the time. Like, is this like a 3 hour reunion? Because it felt like time was moving in reverse. And I like Bob H. It's like, this is the greatest reunion ever. You haven't been to a reunion. I appreciate what you're saying about Andy Cohen, but I don't enjoy him as a host. All that I've taken away from watching him as a reunion host is that I would intentionally make sure I'd never watched a talk show he was hosting.
Bob the drag queen said he's glad he left when he did, which is hilarious. I mean, he didn't have much of a choice. So listen to me.
Yeah,
Bob the
drag queen. He's glad now.
Yeah, he's glad now. Yeah, watching it back. The big dances was what we were expecting, right? First, it was Danielle and Caroline. She asked if she respected her. She said she didn't. They had communication issues. No shit. She said she did respect Caroline. There wasn't a lot
of animosity back and forth. Like, they took a dramatic, I watch on a commercial free package, thank the Lord. But they took like the dramatic potential commercial break there, and they come back, and I'm like, all right, nothing really happened.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it was like, Gabby, I'll tell you what, the only thing that this reunion made me do is it made me like Gabby even more. I think she's hilarious to me. She's pretty funny, and I thought she was pretty spot on here. She's got a shtick, in my opinion. I think it works well. And then for some reason, like, the funniest moment, the funny random moment of this episode, Dolores spoke up that Caroline was so loved that she's seventh in the world on Cameo. I'm like, I didn't realize that my love was based on, you know, being on Cameo and like seventh in the world of people buying cameos and asking me to make fun of people or whatever. But hey, good for Caroline. I like Caroline. I'm not mad at Caroline
what
at all.
Cameo.
Cameo is you pay somebody to they've done it before where you can pay somebody to do your draft order in fantasy football. Like, I think if you remember, like, somebody did it online. They did a thing with LeVar Ball, and he, like, picked their draft order, you know, by the names or whatever. So it's, like, something like that. You can wish somebody a happy birthday via a cameo of your favorite reality star or wrestler or, you know. I'm going to buy you a cameo from Tom Sandoval is what I'm going to do.
I would take it.
I mean, I'll get Tom Sandoval to do like the opening of the podcast. You know, I'll pay like $100 and he'll be like, welcome to the Love and Reality Podcast. This is Tom Sandoval. You should listen.
He'd probably be especially pumped to know we're going back. And I mean, he was, if we were doing MVPs on this show, he was the MVP of the reunion. As soon as I sent you messages that this was the most boring thing that I had ever seen. I mean, he pops in, has a couple of fun jokes, sits next to Dolores, awkward. They do the clip of him trying to sing. He has fun with it. It all looked funny, and then it picked up a little bit. There was one part of the reunion that I feel like they glossed over too quickly that I would have actually been more interested in, and that is the apparently real and still ongoing bromance between Dylan and Rob.
Oh, I love it. Like, their videos on social media are the greatest things ever. Have you not seen their videos on social media?
No, I don't follow those people.
You need to, so if you go on Instagram, I think it's on Instagram. I'll send it to you after the show. But there's a video of.
But let's talk about that more. I mean, that was actually interesting. People were talking about wanting to get in on that, and they're like, "Oh, we don't really have time for this." Oh, yes, you do. There's nothing we really need to go over about these challenges and stuff.
Yeah, hang on. Let me see if I can pull this up, and I'm gonna. Hang on. I don't. What the hell? Hang on, everybody. We're going to do technology on the air so that I can show. I'm going to show this without the audio so I don't get you banned. If you're at home, you probably know what I'm talking about. And it's funny without audio still because it's hilarious. These two were awesome. Like, these two were awesome.
Well, and you know,
hang on, I'm going to play the video. Hang on one second. You got to watch. It's obviously even funnier with music, but like they just jump it. Like it's a, like a whole bromance, you know what I mean? Like, and then he picked them up at the airport. Like, it's just, it was hilarious. And I agree with you.
I don't see these because, and I know this will make me sound 75, but I don't have TikTok.
Well, it was posted on Instagram too, but still, yes, nonetheless, he is not on TikTok. If there's a video on TikTok, I have to download it onto my phone and send it to him. But because I downloaded it and sent him something, I think, what was it, the Gabby, was
you know
it the
Gabby what? Video? If it makes you feel better, my wife has to do the same thing because she just actually, if she has a stressful day, tells me to leave her alone. And for an hour or an hour and a half, she'll lay in the bedroom and just TikTok away. And she sends me videos and I'm like, you know, I can't open this because now TikTok, especially with all that's going on, they won't let you open it unless you have the app and the account.
Yeah. Well, no, I remember what I sent you today. I sent you the video
of Tom doing bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye. Look, I'm not – look, and this is my public plea. I'm going to cut this, and I'm going to post this on social media. This is my public plea. Tom Sandoval, please come on this podcast. Please. I – like, this season of The Traitors, you're amazing. We're getting to know you in the world of Vanderpump Rules from the beginning. We know that there's bumps in the road or whatever, but we know what? We love you here. We love you, and we want you to come on this podcast. I don't know what we would talk about, nor do I care. We just want your presence here. We love
what,
you.
What wouldn't we talk about?
I know, exactly. You know what I mean? We could get, you know, we could just get advice from Tom Sandoval. I mean, I want to know, honestly.
Don't give us spoilers for Vanderpump because, you know, I have 160 weeks until I'm ready to have that full discussion. Be a 50-year-old watching.
I want to know where the damn quotes come from. Like he's one of the most quotable human beings I've ever watched in reality TV. But
well, that was the part of the reunion show that actually did track with me. It, going on was probably good rehab because you know we start watching Vanderpump from the beginning, but all I really know is the one reality thing I faithfully have watched the last few years because I'm married and want to stay that way is Dancing with the Stars. And Ariana Madix was on Dancing with the Stars. So I know from her perspective all that, and that's all I knew about Tom. And I'm like, God, who is this guy? And getting the kind of double whammy, we started watching Vanderpump at the same time that I started watching this, you know, it was like watching a man 13 years apart, you know, with the same fun-loving personality is there. Yeah. Different hairstyles, but the same commitment to a hair brand.
Yes. Like, I mean, I seriously, like, I look, I'm not going to, we don't know the whole details. We don't want to know the details.
We do just not endorse cheating on your significant other.
No, not at all.
If you've watched our Vanderpump recaps, you know that we don't endorse that. So
we don't at all. If you don't.
People make mistakes.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? And I do love, and you know what? Just to say this too, as well. And they talked about it on the show. I'm happy for him too. He kind of said that, you know, this has kind of been one of those things that it's like really been just like revitalize his figure. Well, you know what I mean?
That's where those girls aired too. When they did recruit Brittany, I don't know why in turn they didn't murder Dylan and why they chose to murder Tom.
Yeah.
We had talked about that the week before, yep. And honestly, how much different would those last two episodes have been if you had some of that comedy and even the him and Dolores not really getting along was sort of funny.
Ivar, you got Gabby in the background.
Ivar and Tom were really only bridged a connection through Dylan. It would have made sense. You know, Gabby and Tom weren't especially close. It would have been more interesting. So, you know,
yeah. Some of the things I did like, the back and forth between Boston Rob and Bob the drag queen, there seemed to be no like love lost there, which is awesome. It's a game, let's have fun with it. You know, I did think it was hilarious. Bob the drag queen was like, I didn't even remember saying that. We're talking about, you know, we should come for one of the new guys, and that was hilarious to me. I do love the
well, you know what. When we were watching that episode live, I didn't really remember him making a big deal about it either. The what he says is it being kind of an offhand, because didn't, you know, Alan threw out whose face deserves on that. And he just said, we probably should have let one of the new guys on there because everybody thinks one of them is a traitor.
Yep.
I forgot that was what Bob or what
Rob took as a pointed comment, but I don't really think he needed motivation. I think he pretty well admitted that he wanted to go after Bob.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. He but was, that was just kind of a fight
waiting for an excuse.
Exactly what it was. Let's see here. I'm just taking a look at my notes here. I love talking about Bronson Robb. It's like, yeah, you want to keep him around, but you know, he does it. He's a great job at first off, he's great talking. I did love the bring up of Bob the Drag Queen, shade of Zac Efron. And then apparently Zac Efron has been made aware of it and told him to watch Baywatch, which I do think is hilarious of why he said to watch Baywatch. But also I want to sit here and say, and Matthew Fox, I love the Baywatch remake. I think it's great for what it is. I love it.
I mean, it's definitely watchable. The Rock's in that.
Yeah. I love Sierra calling Boston Rob daddy and saying he used to be hot right to his face, which I thought was freaking hilarious. And then Tom, yeah, I do love they confronted Tom on his woman are cheaters comment.
They just asked him if he regretted it. You could tell he regretted it.
Yeah, he regretted the moment he said it. Like the moment the word came out of his mouth, he was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, when he saw everybody's reaction. You know, one of the ones, if they were going to grill people and stuff, you know, they talked to Wes about his talk that he's the greatest game player. But why did they not ask him if he regretted going ham at the table? Because he got himself bounced out. And that was where I 100% thought we were going to revisit. And instead, it's like, when you left, you said you were the greatest game player and you flipped people off. Well, no kidding. But how about we go back? Because I remember as soon as he said that, the look on Derek's face is like, I'm not going to be able to overcome this.
Yeah, period. Yeah, and it was crazy to me because, like, he single-handedly cost himself his spot in the game. Like, yeah. Period. Everybody, I'm telling you right now, Boston Rob would have been voted out that week and would have changed the whole trajectory of the game.
He misjudged how much that was going to offend the women.
Exactly. And the thing about it, what exactly, period. Again, I agree with you. It's just here towards the end of my notes here. Dylan, Boston Rob bromance is brought up. We should have seen more of that. Him picking him up at the airport was absolutely. Look, I'm telling you right now, if Boston Rob's not on the next season of the Efrons, whatever they do, journey across the world, then they're really screwing something up. Also, they bring up Tom screwing up the whole outfit thing, which was absolutely hilarious. Again,
says he did that on purpose. I do not believe he did that on purpose.
No, I don't either.
But I did like when they asked Caroline, did you see Alan? She's like, no, I had no idea what he was wearing, which.
Yeah, Tom saved the day. Tom saved Caroline, period. You know what I mean? Also, I am offended, and I think he'll join me in being offended. We had, at the end of the show, best performance in the Scottish castle. We had Caroline for best breakfast performance, Brittany for the round table red herring, Boston Rom saying he would never come for the traitors, Bob the drag queen round table swearing he is a faithful, and Danielle all the fucking time. I want to know why Tom is not up for best performance in the Scottish castle.
The performance was limited to traitors who had to fake.
Oh. I forgot. Well, I didn't pay attention to that part, so now I'm an idiot. But still, Tom should have won. Well, how about that?
They didn't make it clear that's what it was, but when
I see that, who was nominated?
And I was looking at and what they picked, it was all based on them being traitors and having to fake throwing suspicion off themselves.
I want to say that I want to go on record that Boston Rob taking down Bob the Drag Queen was probably the best move of the season. And that round table was the best round table of the season because I think it was awesome. So to me, that should have won easily, but I really feel like we had to give Danielle something. No clue why. But,
well, I mean, it was, if you're picking one single moment, but hers, they were giving her credit for being cumulative,
I guess.
And I mean, she really did ham it up all the time. I mean, going back to even the pilot, they were talking about, why is she crying? Why is she?
Yeah.
What was it? One of the guys early on, they know she knows they didn't actually die, right?
That was hilarious. Was that Sierra? I thought so. Yeah. She's another one that I really like in the review.
It's just somebody throwing Jay. I can't remember where it was now, but I think it was after Derek got voted or got murdered.
Yeah, Derek got murdered and she like acted so dramatic or whatever. Yeah, and then she went all, you know, crazy about it or whatever. Yeah.
Just so they didn't actually die, right? It might have been, I thought Sam was the one that said it to Ivar when they were playing. Wasn't that the episode where they're playing squash out there?
I don't know.
There was a lot of moments where she was kind of being dramatic and people were confused. I was confused. But her performance after Caroline got voted out was better than any scene given by our current Best Actress winner at the Oscars. So,
Damn. Well, folks, on that note, that is it for this week's episode of the Love and Reality podcast. For those of you that have been following along for our journey through Vanderpump, Vanderpump Rules, we will be back with that next week. We're going to do a double episode of that where we're going to break down the finale and the reunion. I'm excited to chat about that because there's a lot of things I've got to say about that. But The Traitors is over. We've got a lot to chat about with Vanderpump Rules. We got some other shows we might be watching in the near future that you want to keep an eye out. There's going to be a new show coming out on Netflix right around the corner. It is not, remember, I don't remember what it's called. Was it Million Dollar Mansion? We'll probably be covering that right here. It starts March 26th.
I think it's Million Dollar Secret.
Million Dollar Secret, Million Dollar Baby, Million Dollar Something. We'll be watching it right here on the Love and Reality podcast. Tom Sandoval, please come on our podcast. Until next time, Matthew Fox and I are out.